It's good to have Brother Jerry Moore with us this morning. Two things. Number one, it's great to have electricity today after last Sunday with no electricity in both services. And it was like an old tent revival, you know, just had a good time. And I had a lot of positive responses from last Sunday. The elevator motor is burned up, by the way, so if you try to use the elevator, it's not working at the moment. And we appreciate Encore for blowing that motor out for us. How many of y'all, let's have a vote. How many of y'all think we should send them a bill? How many of y'all think they're going to pay for it? Three of them? The three of you? Okay. Yeah, I believe they have. No. We have somebody who works for Encore that's in here, but we're not going to name any names. Silas. Anyway. But anyways, number two. I know the service is going to go a little long today. Would everybody agree with me that you won't zip your Bibles up at about, 11:55? Everybody be okay with that? We're not going to go too long over. But you may not meet the Methodist to church, but to the eating places, but you might still meet the Pentecostals there. A lot of times their services go real long, so we'll be all right. It's good to have Brother Moore with us, pastor of Harvest Hills Baptist Church in Duncan, Oklahoma, and appreciate him very much. Was the IBFI mission director for several years, been a missionary. God's used Brother Moore. We appreciate him, and I appreciate his testimony. I appreciate his faithfulness over the years. And Brother Moore, won't you come speak to us?
Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. You can turn me down a little. God's already put a little volume in there already. I think that's for preaching out there in the jungle and in the country of, there's a country north of you called Oklahoma. Of course, last week, Texas played that, weird place. And Texas just didn't do real good, did it? I'm leaving right after the service. How many of you are from Oklahoma? You were born in Oklahoma. God bless you. How many of your parents were born in Oklahoma? See there? Second generation. Probably third generation. They had to come down here and find a job. Amen? We had a situation years ago when we started a church up there where the co-op came out to where we were and put in the electricity. And actually, they hooked it up wrong. And it blew all our PA, it blew everything. And so we did put in a bid for that. But you can put this in, but you better not count on it for at least 6 months. So they do pay, and that was very kind of them. And even today they send me a $5.50 check because we've got some kind of money put somewhere in the co-op. And... folks, aren't you glad God is a little better at keeping records? And, when you get to heaven, what you've done for Christ will last. Now, I'm not preaching yet, but all of these people here in these countries, October the 31st, you will have in the world 7 billion people. I used to think 3.5 billion, that's horrible in the 70s. Oh, that's horrible. We don't have any place to put them. Someone came up in Jacksonville, Florida's city limits. You could put every person in the world and give them a space of so big, and they would still be able to fit into that. So don't think we're overpopulated like the word was years ago. But God has been good to allow us to have a part in different ones' lives. And I'm not sure if I taught some of you missions, but I taught at Norris, which is Crown now. I also taught at Trinity. I've also taught several places missions. You say, why would you do that? Folks, I'd even go to a Southern Baptist if they'd take on missionaries. Did you hear me? I'd go to a Methodist if they'd take on missionaries. Did you hear me? Somebody said, well, I wouldn't take money from a Methodist. And I said, why not? He said, well, they're liberal. And I said, I don't care. I take money from the devil and put it to work for the Lord. I mean, that's our job, is to take the money from wherever it comes. And I found some good, godly people out there in all different denominations that want to have a part with missionaries around the world. And I think you ought to put it to work. They need the blessing, and I need the money. Amen? Same with right here. You got a beautiful building. I love this. Brother Eric, this is better than the last time I preached for you. That was in Nakona, remember? And that's been a while ago. Now, folks, I'm not going to get done with my messages, but each night I'll try to do my best to get you out at least under 2 hours. Old-fashioned revival, old-fashioned mission conference, I'll be 2-hour service. If you were in a foreign country, it'd be 2 or 3 hours. Depends on what country. But we Americans are so spoiled that at 11:59, the Holy Spirit quits working. God can't do a thing after 11:59. If we had an old-fashioned revival, you really wouldn't care whether anyone else was going or coming. You want to hear the Word of God. What our problem is, we're spoiled, we're filled, and we're fat with the Word of God. We've got too much of it. We need to be hungry for it. Now, do me a favor and turn to the book of John, chapter 8. I'll be in and out of the book of John all week, but I'm going to take other gospels to apply to this. Now, I don't know where you remember or not, a guy by the name of Moses. Moses was there on the backside of the desert. He tried to do it his way, and in 40 years of becoming, he could have been king, becoming something, 40 years of becoming nothing, and at age 80. How many people do we have here age 80? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, God bless you. Lord's blessed you very much. Anything past 70 is good. Amen. My mom is 90 years old. She lost my stepdad, been married to him 56 years. I've not known any other dad but him. I buried him this year. I buried my only brother this year. I buried several that were very close relatives this year. So if you're still living and your relatives are dead, you just thank God you still got time to do more for the King. Amen? Now, if you would, let's stand out of love and respect of God's Word. In Nehemiah, you'll find that he had everyone to stand. Of course, they didn't even have any place to sit. Can you imagine reading the whole book and not sit down and have translators because they came from different countries and didn't even understand their native tongue? I'm going to go ahead and read down to what I want, starting verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives and early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And then when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master or Rabbi, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I'm not trying to be cute. But where in the heck is the man? It's all right for the man to do it, but not the woman? No, it's still sin. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Now, they're trying to trap him. And this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, the greatest of sinners. even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man. Folks, we should not condemn one another. We got enough sin to take care of our own heart and our own life. But we like to accuse others, don't we? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Would you read with me verse 12, everyone together, just the one verse. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. Say that with me. I am the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, we come to thee and we're convinced that we know nothing. We have to depend on you not only for the Holy Spirit to speak through us, but Lord, we ask you not just to speak through us, but help us to magnify your name and to lift up Jesus Christ and to know that he is Lord and he is Master. Lord, we want to give honor and glory to you, but we also want to touch on for the real reason we're here, to lift up Christ, our greatest missionary on the face of the earth. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing with me. I know the pastor said something about that you like to get out at 12. That's 15 more minutes. If you'll listen real quick, I'll try to get out of my slow mode and go into my fast mode. And when we used to work on the ranch, we'd say, put it in granny. How many of you know what granny is? Good, man. Y'all been poor too. Put it in granny and just leave it there, and wherever it runs into pastures, we'll still throw the hay up on it. Now, we don't do that anymore. We're lazy. We got a John Deere tractor. We got a big roll bale. We roll that big thing, kick it out, and we use the tractor to lift it. We don't have to lift any of that anymore. My cousin and I were, my brother and my cousin and I were bidding. My cousin went up towards Duncan. Our ranch was close to Warika Ringling area. And we were hauling hay and we had a project that summer. Well, he never checked the bales. They were alfalfa and they had been rained on several times. They weighed pretty close to 100, but so did I. And I told him, I said, I'm not, I'll tell you what, I'll stack back, but I will not handle all those bales until you put them up on the truck. And that truck was pretty high. Then we had to put them in the barn. And then on top of that, he only charged 3.5 cents. We were working ourselves to death. And not, you know, did you know when you work for the Lord, that is written down forever? When you give to the Lord, that's written down forever. Did you know every one of you owe a tithe 10% to God? Amen. You say, I thought you'd come talk about missions. I did. You can't give to missions until you give to tithing. You see, the tithe belongs to the Lord, and if you don't give it to the Lord, then you're robbing God. I hired a young man, and I began to see some things missing on the job site. I was working and getting a house ready, and this young man, I kept noticing things missing, and I asked him about them, and he said, oh, I don't know. Somebody must have stolen them. Well, there wasn't anybody else there but him. Folks, God knows whether you're stealing or not. You wouldn't go to your work and take home a bunch of stuff, kind of like that song, I believe it was Johnny Cash, wasn't it? That he kept stealing stuff, putting it in his lunch box, and he finally put together a Cadillac, but it was so many years it looked weird. That's what the song's about. Now, y'all hadn't heard that, I know. But can you imagine putting all those different parts on a car and you're stealing it from General Motors or Ford or wherever? Of course, Ford looks that way already, so you don't have to worry about that. I've driven the Chevrolet for all these years. Now, y'all do know Toyota used to be 49% belonged to GM. My brother worked at the GM plant at Arlington for over 30 years. He's home to be at the Lord, and maybe the Lord needs something put together up there. I don't know. But you think about all these different things that are done. You think about all these things. Did you know when you give to the Lord, when you give a tithe to the Lord, then now you're even with God. Did you hear me? When you give a tithe to the Lord, you're even with God. If you'll read Malachi chapter 3, you'll find that your money is under a curse if you don't give your 10%. Now you see, I can say that. I can say it here and I can say it there. Our church is not a large church. We run between 60, 70, somewhere along there. Brother Crawford, his dad, Dan Crawford, is one of my associates and one of the best men you could ever find in the country, if you'll behave. I see where you get your honorness. So he's preaching today. My son's there. He's the youth leader. He's preaching today. And then Brother Crumpton, also there. He's preaching Wednesday night. So we have to shift these guys around. So I've got three people. I've never had this. Started churches all over the country. Started three or four in Brazil. Started three or four here. And every time I've never had any preachers in my congregation. This is the first time. I don't know where God's fixing to move me out or take me home. Or I had a knee surgery 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago, a total knee replacement. And they told me that they couldn't put the streamlined knee, the new knee. They take everything out. But to put a John Deere tractor part, so it costs more. When I came down to Texas years ago to go to the old Bible Baptist Seminary, Arlington Baptist Schools now, but then it was very, very conservative. Some great preachers that preached. And I'll never forget, as I was going there, I was coming in by myself, stopped at one of these little bitty white places in the road. And you know how you are when you're about 19 years old and you're going to college and you're away from home and you're trying to look for a job and you're going to stay in the dorm. That's got to be bad enough, staying in the dorm. But anyway, I'll never forget, I stopped at a little old cafe. That's what they call it, motel and cafe. Stopped at that little cafe. Now, how many of you remember how they used to have the little cafe and then they had to put a little swimming pool in and then they had all the rooms around from that? It's all bunched up together. And I went in there and I'd never been to that place before. And they brought me a tea that looked like a half jug, you know. I mean, it was huge. And I said, "My, that's a large tea. I just want a little." "No, everything's big in Texas." So, okay, I'd like a hamburger. I just want a regular hamburger, french fries. And I'll take this tea. Boy, I mean, tell you the time I drank that tea, I had to find the men's room. And they brought the hamburger. And I mean, it was huge. And I said, "Ma'am, that's awful large. Everything's big in Texas." All right. So I said, "Ma'am, where's the men's room?" She said, "Go out that door and turn left." I went out that door and turned right, fell in the swimming pool, and hollered, "Don't flush it!" Everything's big in Texas. That's the reason I stay in Oklahoma. Now, if you give to God 10%, you're ready to ask God, "How much do you want me to give to missions? How much do you give to missions?" Our church gave $87,000 last year to missions. Not bad. Not bad. I would like to see us go past the $100,000. What we usually do is we had $84,000, $85,000 on, we put it in the bulletin, how much comes in every week until we reach that end. Now, I don't know how you do it here, but it helps you to know how much of that comes in. And every year, more comes in than what's promised. I like that. It's a promise between you and God. If we took a huge, big pipe and put it in here, or if we took a little bitty pipe and we put it in here, let's say that gold's going to come out of this pipe. Which pipe do you want? Silver's going to come out of this pipe. Oil's going to come out of this pipe. You want the great big pipe, or you want the little bitty pipe? You see, that's you and me. We're a pipeline to reach the world. How much of your salary will you give to Christ? Many times the communists gave 90% of their funds and lived on 10%. We give 10% and live on the 90% and gripe. My wife and I give $225 a week to missions. Preacher, I also believe that I ought to give the same to the Lord, so I give the same back to the church. How do you live on that? Better than I've ever lived in my life. You can't outgive God. You see, you and I have to have a little faith in believing that God is going to supply my need. When I give it, He gives it back. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. You see, when I give it, God's going to give it back. And here you'll find Jesus for the first time after being tempted on, what do I say concerning this woman being caught in adultery? I'm telling you what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. We look at people in the neighborhood, or we look at people in the world and say, oh, those black people over there, those brown people, those slant-eyed people, they ought to go to hell. Look what they did to us. You see, if we don't have the love of Christ, we'll begin to say some of those things. And even today, I run across some of the old-timers and said, I just don't want to give anything that's going to Japan. Even today. Because they've never forgotten Pearl Harbor. They've never forgotten the thousands. Folks, how do you feel about Arabs? They did worse than what the Japanese did at Pearl Harbor. And the Twin Towers are no longer there. We've got two bright lights and we've got a memorial. We've got a memorial in Oklahoma City. What do you think about Americans that get twisted in their mind and bring up a truck that's filled with all kinds of explosives and set it off and then get caught? He just act like there wasn't nothing wrong with that. Here we find that God is the one that takes care of us. It's God that blesses us. It's God that'll bless our country. It's God that'll bless you. Who do you want the blessing from? My son, Jerry Don, which is on our staff, he's part-time with us, and then he also teaches and works with youth. He's a youth counselor. He's a professional counselor. He has a master's degree in counseling. And so I turn all counseling over, even from the church, unless they ask for me to talk with them. Then that way I don't have to do that. Because when you counsel with people, just like Jesus did here, many times people will say, well, he's preaching to me, because he listened to my problems and had prayer with me. And that helps. That helps to know these things. And did you know, when he and I was at Norris at that time, he had been dealing with God, dealing with him about coming and going into ministry. And did you know that at that moment, our daughter-in-law Amy was to go to work for this building that blew up, the Merle building. Harrison, which is now 19, and actually in seminary now, just went there. And yet, she was going to work. Harrison would have been in that nursery. And when that bomb blew up, more than likely, somebody would have been hurt. Isn't that something? How God changed his heart, moved him there. God protects you. You'll gripe about the flat, but you'll be glad when you get down the road that God kept you out of the wreck. Amen? Do you want God's protection? You want God's blessing? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Say that with me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You see, when you're sending a missionary, you're sending light in a dark country. You're sending a light that's going to carry that light around the world. He's going to carry that light. He cannot see into the future, nor the next world man can. All he sees is darkness, 7 billion of them. He cannot see God, who He is and what He's like. He cannot see the real meaning, the significance, and the purpose of life. He cannot grasp perfect knowledge nor assurance of eternal life except through Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Where do you stand today? Where do you stand? You see, I didn't even get out of the introduction to the message, but God controls the message. I'm the light of the world. If He's really the light of the world and you believe that, then you want to send the light around the world so people can really see the light. Where art thou, thine accusers? Folks, every sin you've ever committed in Revelation chapter 20 and the beast and the false prophets are cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, every person in the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ will not make it to heaven. I am the way, only one way. I am the truth. There's only one truth. I am the life, only one life. It's not Confucius, Muhammad. It's not these different ones that you'll hear about. It's not the Muslims. It's not all, well, we're all trying to get the same place. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the only way. If you don't know Him today, Pastor, would you mind stepping up on the podium, please? And I'm going to ask the pastor to pray also. If you're here and don't know Jesus Christ while our heads are bowed, and you'd say, Pastors, would y'all pray for me? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. Would you lift your hand and say, pray for me? I'll not come to you, neither will the pastor, but if you'll say, pray for us, we will pray for you. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, well, I'm not sure where God wants us, but we are looking for a church. I'd ask your prayers concerning where God wants us. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you, son. Anyone else? I'm sure there's many here that would say, Pastor, just like that woman, if I was accused of sin, there's a bunch of sin in my past. But you see, it's all under the blood when we trust Christ. It's all under the blood. It's all under grace. And as Moses came to the bush, he said to God, God, when I go back to these people, who do I say that is sending me? What's God's name? What is your name? And he said, I am that I am. You see, the I am, the light of the world, is the God of the world. I am that I am. From the beginning to the end and for eternity, He's always existence. He is the I am. Let's send the I am around the world, the light of the world. Maybe you're here and you'd say, sin in my life has kept me from fellowshipping with Christ like I should. Pastor, please pray for me. Please pray for me. It takes a lot of boldness to do that because you don't want anyone to see. But God sees. Father, we come to Thee knowing that You are God. You are the great I am. You are the one that forgives our sins. You are the one that can totally take over our life and change us. You're the one that can speak to our hearts so we can send missionaries around the world. If I can't go, and Lord, You know I've tried to go, and here I am back home pastoring and sending as we send these missionaries around the world, let us personally send the missionaries. Now bless these that raised their hand. And bless these that couldn't, but you know their hearts. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name.